Turning your Bibles to the letter of Jude. The small letter of Jude, once again, we're continuing in our series on the godly pursuit of biblical reformation. And this evening we're going to look again at the politics of biblical reformation and the cowardice of spiritual compromise that is widespread in the church and the ministry today. So this is the fourth sermon in the series on the politics of biblical reformation, but the second in relationship to spiritual compromise, the influence of cowardice, political correctness, in the church and the ministry that has, as it were, put a silence on many evangelical and reformed pastors. We are studying the several primary reasons why ministers and Christian leaders have become cowardly silent with respect to the preaching of Christ's lordship over politics, exposing the manifold evils of American culture, the paganism and demonic influences that are widespread in the nation, the Democrat Party, the political establishment, Washington, fake news media, Hollywood culture, even Wall Street and the corporate world. Over the last several decades, it's not difficult to see that there has been a vast movement toward promoting paganism in American society as a result of liberalism, socialism, Hollywood influence, and the Democrat Party. I have seen an apostasy that is widespread from the time I was growing up in the 80s until now. American society and culture is vastly different. And the chief reasons for this, one of, is the growing apostasy of evangelical and reformed churches and the fact that there are so few ministers and Christian leaders preaching Christ's lordship, preaching the law of God, denouncing sin and idolatry as works of the devil, and exposing the manifold evils of culture and society. That's exactly what we see in the letter of Jude, in the nature of apostasy, false religion. Ministers today, tragically, have turned cowards over the last several generations. It's that simple and obvious. There are many evangelical and reformed pastors today who have no sense of their duty to Christ to faithfully preach the gospel and expose sin and idolatry. And I've been saying this for years, even when I was in my early 20s. The Old Testament prophets, the New Testament apostles, the early church fathers, the reformers, and the Puritans were all united upon this important truth and doctrine with regard to biblical reformation, that modern pastors are sadly sunk completely in the oblivion of cowardice and false doctrine. And this is even more clear when you realize the situation that we are in at this time in the history of the nation and the unbelievable apostasy, deceit, fraud, corruption, the demonic influence of evil that is widespread in our culture, in politics, the demonic party of the left, as well as large parts of the establishment Republicans. If the pastors and Christian leaders of churches were faithful to rebuke sin, idolatry, false religion, and all the demonic forces that are in liberalism, neo-orthodoxy, long ago, we would not be in the situation we are in today. If evangelical reformed pastors would quit compromising the Word of God with respect to the authority of Scripture and the claims of Christ's lordship over politics and government, there wouldn't be so many evils in the nation as there are today. If evangelical reformed pastors would quit compromising with the culture of corruption and the politics of deceit and the political correctness that we see widely and just faithfully rebuke heretics who pervert the gospel and accommodate the truth of God to a wicked and ungodly generation, we would not be in the generation, the situation that we are today. If evangelical and reformed pastors were faithful to expose the demonic evils of the left and faithfully preach the gospel to the churches and to the nation, we wouldn't see so many apostates, unbelievers, and those backslidden into false religion. There wouldn't be so many of their own children and family members who turn away from the truth of the gospel to heresy, to idolatry, homosexuality, the homosexual, and the whole progressive agenda that we see now commonplace in American culture, society, and on the news. So this evening we're going to talk again about the sinful and ungodly compromise that is made in the church today, sadly, by many evangelical reformed pastors with the secularist and anti-Christian agenda that is promoted. It's promoted today in culture, in society, the political establishment, fake news media, and the forces of Antichrist that are barely ever mentioned in churches today. Barely ever spoken and mentioned because of cowardice and political correctness. And this is further argument from Scripture showing the necessity of ministers and Christian leaders, Christ's command to promote reformation in politics and government, to pursue biblical reformation, to preach Christ's lordship. We saw from Psalm 2 and hundreds of other passages from Scripture that the preaching of Christ's sovereignty in and over politics, government, culture, society is an essential part of biblical reformation. And this can be readily discerned from the authority of Scripture, the duty of faithful preaching, the claims of Christ's lordship, the abiding validity of the law of God, the command of the Great Commission, disciple the nations, the calling of civil magistrates to punish evildoers, the testimony of church history that I just mentioned, the establishment of law and order, which is fundamental to the gospel, the preservation of liberty in a nation that is spoken of in the Old and the New Testament, as well as the necessity of national reformation. All of these, we've seen, are scriptural grounds and reasons why it is the solemn duty of pastors and Christian leaders to preach and to promote Christ's sovereignty over politics, over government, and to promote biblical reformation in all things, in culture, in society, in education, in law enforcement, science, literature, arts, entertainment. The gospel of Christ is to influence and sanctify every part of society, every aspect of life and thought. That's the goal of Scripture. That is the design of the Great Commission. That is the role of apologetics and biblical reformation. And the Bible couldn't be clear as to what the prophets of the Old Testament, as well as the apostles of the New, together preach with regard to the scope and extent of Christ's sovereignty. We're to bring all things captive to the obedience of Christ. And so we have seen how important this is, not only to the church, but to the world and the nation. And when there is such a degree of cowardice and compromise in pastors and Christian leaders that makes them silent on all of these most pressing political, moral, and social issues of the day, there's going to be apostasy. Right? There's going to be apostasy and spiritual declension in the church, in the family, in the nation, in politics, and society. There is a growing corruption of the nation because of just what we're talking about. I still can't believe what has happened over the last 3 years with regard to the fake news media, the whole Obama cover-up of crooked Hillary Clinton and all of the crimes, the conspiracy to defraud President Trump by the fake collusion narrative, the corruption of the Obama administration, the DOJ, the CIA, the FBI, the State Department, and it's still ongoing even after the Mueller report. Lord willing, I'll talk about that in greater depth next week just as an example and illustration. But I spoke of this 2.5 years ago. And a lot of people thought that I was involved in some reform conspiracy that had nothing to do with truth and history. And let me tell you, it is far more nefarious than most Christians, most pastors and Christian leaders, and even Fox News is willing to admit or relate. It's not just a fraud, and it's not just a criminal conspiracy. It is a veritable work of the devil to overthrow Christian civilization, Christian values in America, to radically transform the nation into a godless, socialist, statist, totalitarian nation opposed to all Christian truth. That's what it is. There are many who want the nation to be turned in a godless liberal China where the government controls all aspects of life and thought and the truth of the gospel is suppressed by the force of law and government tyranny. I don't think most pastors and Christian leaders understand this at all. In fact, I think really, in all humility and truth, that most pastors, most evangelical and reformed leaders are too stupid and worldly to understand what is at stake here. The heritage of the church, the importance of biblical reformation, the evangelization of the nation, they have no clue. How significant. Where we are in history with regard to the nation and the whole world. There are evangelical and reformed churches throughout the nation that are completely and totally silent on these issues. They have no problem at all with people in their churches as members in good standing, partaking of communion with them, who are Democrats, who support political views and public policies that are completely demonic, that are designed on overthrowing the church and the faithful preaching of the gospel, who promote the very works of the devil and of Antichrist. And these pastors don't rebuke them or correct them at all. How is that possible? How is it possible for pastors and Christian leaders to think that Christ and the gospel have nothing to do with the reformation of society, of culture, and of politics and government? Nothing to do with political issues, moral issues, social issues, and even the promoting of the most diabolical evils in our society. How can so many pastors and Christian leaders today be so blinded by hypocrisy, greed, covetousness, and political correctness? Even some of the most famous conservative, fundamentalist, and reformed pastors, how can they be so blind? It is because of this kind of false doctrine, the denial of Christ's lordship, and the spiritual cowardice that the forces of liberalism, the demonic agenda of the Democrat Party, as well as the ungodly political establishment of much in Washington, has been growing widespread throughout the nation over the last 100 years. And how important it is, notwithstanding his personal sins and character flaws, how important it is to see that President Trump is trying to dismantle much of this corruption, this anti-Christian demonic agenda that is trying to overthrow Christian civilization. How is it possible pastors and Christian leaders can't see this? How is it possible the vast bureaucracy of federal institutions, the State Department, the CIA, the FBI, the court system, public school system, universities, the vast evils and abominations of Hollywood, and the whole agenda is to destroy Christian civilization, Christian values, to suppress the truth of the gospel? I don't even see many in the most well-known conservative evangelical reform circles preaching on these things, warning the church. It's rarely ever rebuked and exposed as a comprehensive conspiracy of evil and paganism that plagues the nation and all of our public institutions. Exactly what Paul says in Romans 1. Exactly. When Paul condemns the whole pagan worldview and its institutions and practices, and says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And we're talking here about the apostasy of the church and the downgrade of the ministry as it relates to Christ's lordship and sovereignty over politics, society, and moral issues of the day. And so we're looking at the several reasons, the snares, why so many pastors and Christian leaders today are silent on all of these important issues. They don't want to talk about politics. They don't want to talk about the evil political ideologies of our nation that are destroying the church. They have a false understanding to think political ideology is somehow separate from false doctrine. They have a completely distorted view that says that you can hold to these demonic ideologies that deny the authority of Scripture, the lordship of Christ, the abiding validity of the moral law, everything that's sacred, holy, and true that is revealed in Scripture, because this is politics, and that's separate from the gospel. That is just totally ignorant. That's demonic. And yet that is widespread in evangelical and even Reformed churches. So we're looking at the larger picture of the various obstacles in the way to biblical reformation as a result of the downgrade of evangelical and Reformed politics. That's important. We're talking about the politics of biblical reformation. And there is not going to be any reformation in the church, any reformation in denominations. There is no reformation in Reformed denominations, PCA, OPC, RPC, Reformed Baptists, until they deal with this and they repent of this abominable sin and false doctrine that denies the lordship of Christ over politics and civil government. Because you cannot come to saving faith in Christ. You cannot come to true repentance until you see the evils, the wickedness, the idolatry, the exceeding sinfulness of political ideologies that are contrary to the truth of the gospel. You can't come to saving faith. You can't come to repentance. Right? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Evangelism has to do with the preaching of Christ and the gospel to bring those that are lost to repentance and saving faith in Christ. And if the gospel is corrupted, twisted and perverted by this false idea that you can have Jesus Christ as your Savior and still promote liberal politics, demonic political ideologies, you're still of the devil. You still are under the delusion of false religion and the corruption of the devil. It should be that simple. So look at the letter of Jude again. We're going to read the letter of Jude once again and expound on the important truths from the letter. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and deny the only Lord God and the lordship of Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual morality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They've run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. That is a wonderful letter warning the church, warning us of the danger of apostasy and the danger of spiritual cowardice in the church and the ministry today. Notice that Jude is a short sermon, an apologetic that centers upon God's wrath and judgment upon false teachers, those who pervert the gospel by a theology of cheap grace, who promote rebellion against the lordship of Christ. Jude's description of apostasy and wickedness in the church is exactly what we see in the nation and churches today. And Jude issues a call for believers to earnestly contend for the faith in this time of apostasy. And so it's prophetic. It's prophetic of the last times when apostasy abounds in the church and both the government and society become perverted by idolatry, false religion, sexual morality, and the influence of false teachers who corrupt the Word of God. And that's what we see today. And that's what we're talking about this evening and what we talked about, of course, last week. The apostasy of the church and the spiritual downgrade of evangelical reform politics and the unwillingness of pastors and Christian leaders to speak the truth. And so we've seen how important this is already, how there is a close connection with the church's apostasy over the last century and the present circumstances in American culture and society, all the abominations that are now widespread and growing that weren't seen in the 80s. Feminism, homosexuality, abortion, the liberal demonic agenda, secularism, paganism, homosexual agenda, transgenderism, globalism, the entire corruption and wickedness of the public school system, the universities, the widespread evil of drug abuse and drug addiction, the evils of illegal immigration, human trafficking, the crimes and corruptions of the Obama administration, the Clintons, the entire Democrat Party, the manifold evils and the deceit of the fake news media is absolutely shocking. Half of the nation is under the bondage of the devil and complete paganism. And yet thousands of evangelical and reformed pastors, teachers, and Christian leaders are pretty much silent. Pretty much silent. And unwilling to confront, to speak the truth of God, to stand for Christ's lordship and sovereignty, and to rebuke it, to write against it, to promote reformation by preaching, by teaching. The truth of God is being suppressed today throughout churches because pastors and Christian leaders are fairly silent. Suppressing the truth of God in unrighteousness, right? The truth of Christ's sovereignty, the truth of God's law, the truth of God's hatred and condemnation of much of American society. Week after week, though, pastors and Christian leaders, and many, of course, most of them even profess to be reformed, are completely silent on these issues. Unwilling to preach on Christ's sovereignty over civil government, unwilling to rebuke the nation, unwilling to rebuke its rulers and their wickedness, when in fact, you can even see that a full 30 to 40% of passages in Old Testament and New Testament that speak about Christ's resurrection is about Christ's lordship and judgment against the ungodly. Jesus was raised not only to bring us life and salvation, but also condemnation of the wicked, just as we read from the Psalm. When it comes to the faithful preaching of the gospel and promoting biblical reformation, sadly, many pastors are completely undiscerning, unfaithful to the truth of God, unwilling to confront the pressing issues of the day, the sins and abominations of society that work to destroy the church and undermine the lives of believers, the marriage, the families of believers. The things that we're talking about are those things that destroy the lives and the marriages and the families of Christians that I've seen for now 30 years. Timothy Dwight, therefore, said rightly that those who are silent when it comes to the sins and idolatries of the nation are themselves complicit in the sins and idolatries of the nation and will receive the same judgment upon them who practice them. Now, you can see the culture going that way. You can see families in our community, our culture. That's why they leave and apostatize from the truth of the gospel. This is what Judas is warning in his letter to the churches, and the importance of defending the faith, exposing the evil influence of false teachers, the corrupting influences of sin and idolatry in a culture, and the reasons why God executes his wrath and judgment on the ungodly. And therefore, there is one simple answer. The road to apostasy and ruin largely comes from false doctrine and spiritual cowardice. Pastors and Christian leaders are subverted by false doctrine and by a general cowardice that makes them unwilling to preach the whole counsel of God. And the Bible repeatedly warns of the sin and snare of cowardice. In Proverbs 29, verse 5, Solomon says, "The fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." In Luke 9, verse 26, Jesus warned the disciples, saying, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." Revelation 21, 8, John says, "The cowardly are the same as the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. And their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." The cowardly, they're just the same as the idolaters. In Leviticus 26, the Lord warns of the danger of judgment upon which he threatens to bring a disobedient and unreformed people. He says, "If you will not be reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you 7 times for your sins." And then in verse 36 through 39, Moses in particular identifies cowardice as a mark and characteristic of God's judgment upon a disobedient and unreformed people. Think of that. Cowardice is an evidence of God's judgment. He says, "And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaking leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as if it were before a sword, when no one is even pursuing. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemy's land." Why? Because you are too cowardly to stand up for the truth of the gospel. This is sadly what's happening to many churches and families today. They're being destroyed by cowardice and the corrupting influences of idolatry and false religion. And they're looking for churches that will just flatter them. Instead of preaching the truth, they want to hear smooth things. They want to hear 30 to 35 minute sermons of Christian nurture instead of the faithful preaching of Christ and his glory. Cowardice, idolatry, and false religion are a corrupting influence on the church and a major obstacle to biblical reformation. Athanasius said, "To sin by silence makes cowards out of men and false teachers out of those who should otherwise be faithful ministers of Christ." And John Chrysostom, he said, "A man without courage cannot long remain godly or virtuous, for he is unable to resist vice and compromise with the wicked." And this is what we see generally today. It's growing widespread. Cowardice, effeminacy that leads to wholesale apostasy. Now, when you read carefully the book of Jude, you can see that. Jude doesn't mince words. Right? Jude, the apostle, is not a politically correct preacher. No. His words, his illustrations, his forthright convicting of the ungodly, his exhortation to earnestly contend for the faith. No, that's a strong, courageous word of encouragement and instruction. We ought to be able to discern from Scripture then, like we see in Jude, the pathology of sin and idolatry in the church and the road many take to apostasy. Because it is often cowardice that leads to false religion and an evil heart of unbelief. And sadly, there are many who are turning away from the truth to lies because of this. They want their ears tickled. The apostasy of evangelical reformed churches has been growing over the last century to the point now that it's hard to tell in much of preaching whether that it's reformed at all. Let me tell you, Pentecostal preaching in the 80s was more firm against the sin, the idolatry, and the wickedness of our culture than most reformed preaching today. I'm not joking. It's that bad. The kind of preaching and teaching of Christ's lordship that was central to the early church, central to the days of Constantine and Theodosius, central to the Reformation, to the Puritan era, to the Great Awakening that sparked the American Revolution, is entirely foreign in the church today. Can you imagine Jonathan Edwards' sermons, "God Glorified in the Damnation of the Wicked, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God"? That's completely foreign to the vast majority, not just of Christians, but to Reformed pastors and Reformed scholars. It is shockingly offensive to them. How is that possible? Why are Christians today so liberal, so worldly, really so ungodly? Because that's what Jude says. They're ungodly. The book of Jude addresses this problem. The gospel that is preached today and that is believed by many Christians today is a corrupted gospel based on a theology of cheap grace. It doesn't say anything about Christ's sovereign authority, God's wrath upon sin and idolatry, the world, the evils of false religion, political polytheism, the worship of false gods. It doesn't say anything about the abiding validity of the law of God, the necessity of repentance. It doesn't expose the evils of false religion, the deviant forms of Christianity that corrupt the gospel. It's very sad. And therefore, we can see the state of the nation goes the state of the church. The unfaithfulness of pastors and Christian leaders has a direct influence on the nation. And we shouldn't be deceived. The kind of bankrupt theology, false religion that is promoted by many churches, promotes, encourages a generation of atheists and idolaters and blasphemers and Sabbath breakers and adulterers and homosexuals and liars and thieves. Just look at the children of so many popular pastors and Christian leaders. It leads to apostasy. Now, as we see, there are seven things to look at from the book of Jude that helps explain the cowardice and compromise of so many pastors and Christian leaders. Seven things. We see the distortion of Christ's resurrection and lordship, the willful rejection of God's law and commandments, the influence of a corrupt theology of cheap grace, the downgrade of biblical preaching, the accommodation to secularism and political correctness, the feminization of the church and the ministry, and the evil influence of materialism and covetousness. Seven. I could list more. I did have more. But these are the several most important reasons for the cowardice and compromise of so many evangelical reformed pastors and why there is such a growing apostasy. Why the nation is in such a way. Now, are there things that are good to see? Yes. Right? The conservative spark in politics with President Trump, that is a good sign. The attempt to overthrow the fake news media, the political establishment in Washington, to fight against the whole onset of secular, humanistic, anti-Christian values, that's very good. But where are the pastors and Christian leaders? A lot of this is coming from where? Fox News and the common people. There are so many common Christians that are more wise, more discerning what the Bible teaches about Christ's sovereignty over politics than pastors and Christian leaders. And that's what we're talking about. From last week, this is, why is it that Fox News pundits who are Episcopalian and Roman Catholic and the wide variety of Christians in the nation sometimes, no, often, are more discerning, more faithful to reality, to truth, than pastors and Christian leaders? Well, we're talking about that. We talked last week about the first three, and now this evening we're looking at the last four: the downgrade of biblical preaching, the accommodation to secularism and political correctness, the feminization of the church and the ministry, and the evil influences of materialism and covetousness. That was a long introduction just to prepare for the last four points. So the modernist downgrade of biblical preaching is the fourth mark and evidence of cowardice, spiritual compromise in the ministry. Why pastors, Christian leaders are often silent about political and moral issues, and that influences for evil the church and the nation. Because notice closely the sharpness, the conviction, and the seriousness that the Apostle Jude deals with the problem of false teachers and apostasy. This is true biblical preaching. He's not soft-pedaling the gospel as so many are today. Right? This is what you might call biblical apologetics, biblical preaching. Everything about Jude's tone, his style, his doctrine, and his use of Scripture is God-centered. It is reverent. It is discerning and devoted to Christ and biblical reformation. Jude is what you might say, telling it like it is. This is how preaching and teaching ought to be in the church today, on account of the gravity of the problem, the great evils of sin, idolatry and apostasy in the world, and the influence that it has on the church. Think of this in the context of, you can go into many evangelical or reformed churches week after week, month after month, and nothing about the real issues in society, politics, culture, the abominations and evils, the temptations, the wickedness of culture that Christians have to deal with, nothing is said. I mean, that's how stupid and ungodly pastors are today. Jude says what? I exhort you, I warn you, I remind you, I beseech you, contend earnestly for the faith. Know the truth. Beware of false teachers. Remember God's wrath and judgment on the ungodly, spoken of in Old Testament Scripture. Don't be stupid. Don't be undiscerning. Don't be ungodly. The wrath of God is coming upon the wicked. There are many who are deceived by false religion. There are false teachers spreading lies and hypocrisy, and they're going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. That's what Jude says. And he says, beloved, you need to build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And remember, have compassion on some of these people, making a distinction. Why? They're weak. They're gullible. But others save with the fear of God, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. That's real biblical preaching that you don't often see in churches today. That's just telling the truth. That's speaking the truth in love. That's warning the church the dangers of evil of apostasy, of the corrupting influence of culture and false teachers. Now, I listen to a lot of preaching during the week and the days and the evenings when I have the time. And let me tell you, most evangelical reformed preaching is foolish, trite, man-centered, designed more to flatter people and keep the money changers busy. A lot of it's a bunch of religious hypocrisy. Sometimes even when it's doctrinally sound, it lacks conviction. What you normally would see in the early church fathers, the reformers, the Puritans, and those who spoke the word of God with sincerity. Look, I spoke to you before a Banner of Truth conference. They held the annual preaching conference in the UK, right? Next month it's going to be in the U.S. on the East Coast. And the topic is on the Holy Spirit. Nothing is about the conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, the sermon lectures that were given are entirely soft, shallow, superficial, completely effeminate. They showed no godly discernment at all over the pressing issues of the church and the need for biblical reformation. None. There was not a single sermon on revival or reformation. It is not only embarrassing, it is scandalous. Reformed pastors and leaders today are not only lacking in godly discernment, they are completely overtaken by cowardice and political correctness. Let me tell you, this is Banner of Truth. This is not the liberal theology. This is not the dispensationalism. This is not the Pentecostalism. This is Banner of Truth. And I could easily mention 10, 20, 30 other well-known evangelical and Reformed pastors, PCA, OPC, RPC, Reformed Baptists. There is a widespread apostasy from the truth of the gospel and unwillingness to preach Christ's lordship over politics and culture and to rebuke the sins and idolatries of the nation. When every Christian man who loves the truth enters the church on Sunday morning or goes to the evening service and pastors are continually silent about what everybody is talking about culture, society, and politics, the corruption of the Obama administration, the whitewashing of entire fraud and scandals because of what? Their demonic political ideology. Nothing is said. They're as dumb as dumb. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul says to Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, is appearing. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own sinful desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves false teachers, and they will turn away from the truth to believe lies. That's widespread. And sadly, the fact that there is not reproof, rebuke, and exhortation with all longsuffering and doctrine, well, that's commonplace. The very nature of preaching demands that ministers and Christian leaders preach Christ's lordship over politics and expose the demonic political ideologies that influence the nation and the church and ruin so many lives of Christians, their marriages, and their families. Martin Luther rightly said, it is heresy and cowardice that blunts the preaching of the word. Heresy and cowardice. I can think of many. Dispensationalism, fake Calvinism, neo-orthodoxy, broad evangelicalism. That's cowardice that blunts the preaching of the word. The fact is that many Christians today are hostile to true biblical preaching. They want to hear smooth things, soft and shallow sermons that tickle their ears, lull them to sleep. Which is striking because they would hear this from a civil tone listening to the radio, non-Christians. They don't mind listening to Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, Fox News, but they don't want to hear it from the Word of God. What does that tell you about a people? Most people today have a very profane and unbiblical view of the Lord's Day and the ministerial office, the very nature of preaching. They're lulled to this carnal view of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ than the duty of ministers. They're lulled into it by what? Their interest in sports, entertainment, drama and theater, pagan music, surfing the internet, or thousands of other things that often hardens them against the faithful preaching of the Word. Many Christians today would rather go to a play or a sporting event than hear the faithful preaching of Christ's sovereignty in politics. And that's why pastors today lighten up and dumb down their sermons. They compromise with what is a rebellious and wicked generation. And what happens is churches and families are destroyed by this political correctness, idolatry, false religion, and the nation soon becomes liberal and apostate. Contemporary preaching that doesn't speak out against sin and idolatry, against false religion, against the demonic influences of political ideologies that are contrary to the truth of the gospel, abortion, homosexuality, feminism, atheism, government tyranny, the evils of Islam, and other false religions that compromise the Word of God, the slide to apostasy goes as it is. Their feet shall slide in due time. Jesus warned the disciples, saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's how preaching is to be. Paul says in Acts 20, verse 27, I did not shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God. It is the mark of a faithful ministry to preach Christ's sovereignty over all things and to exhort the church to submit to Christ and to be warned of not only false religion, but sin, idolatry, and political ideologies that are corrupt, that have a corrupting influence on the church. You see, the central point of apostolic preaching is Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord over the church. He is Lord over every principality and power, as we've studied in Ephesians and Colossians. He is Lord over politics and government, the courts, the schools, the marketplace, the corporations, the family. Jesus Christ is Lord, not Caesar. We're called to bring everything captive in obedience to Christ. That's the point of ministry. That's the point of preaching. Contemporary preaching that doesn't speak out against secularism, idolatry, false religion, political pluralism, government tyranny, or even the idolatry of Roman Catholicism that places power in the Pope. That's a compromise with the Word of God. You know this pietistic, liberal, and antinomian view of the gospel that is commonplace in evangelical Reformed churches today? It's not biblical. It does not build up the saints in truth. The preaching and teaching of Christ's Lordship is the heart of the gospel, and it is the power of biblical reformation. John Knox said, it is faithfulness to Christ and to the work of reformation to preach obedience to Christ's laws and to proclaim his sovereignty over all things, while it is cowardice and unbelief not to. It is cowardice and unbelief not to preach and teach Christ's sovereignty over all things. Yeah, that's what we talked about in our study on Colossians this afternoon. It's like, it's commonplace. When ministers of the gospel are silent, therefore, about the political issues, moral issues of the day, really they're showing that they're liars and charlatans in many ways. They're suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. They're not willing to tell the truth about Christ's resurrection glory, his sovereignty. They are silent with regard to the central truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, he is exalted to the right hand of God the Father, and calls all men, all principalities and powers, all magistrates, judges, to submit in obedience to his word. Right? Now, I've said many times before, but the vast majority of ministers today should just shut their mouths, step down from their position, find a job that fits their knowledge of Christ and their level of spiritual maturity. Find a calling that fits the commonplace understanding of the gospel because they should not be ministers of the word. They are deceiving people by dumbing down the gospel and undermining the glory and sovereignty of Christ by false doctrine and flattering words. That is the fact. This downgrade of preaching today that is widespread in churches, evangelical and reformed, is the mark of spiritual cowardice. It is a snare of the devil, and it is an obstacle to true biblical reformation. That brings us to the fifth point, political correctness and accommodation to secular values. The fifth mark and evidence of cowardice in ministers that brings apostasy to the church and the nation is this accommodation to political correctness, to secular values, to American liberal democracy. So they are basically show allegiance to the Constitution and the Declaration, but not to the Word of God. That's a problem, a big problem. Political correctness is a curse upon the church and the ministry, as it is a curse upon the lives of Christians. It's very sad, but preachers today often sound like liberal media pundits who spin everything and lie against the truth. They do. They spin everything. Think carefully when you're listening to a sermon whether they are actually speaking the truth or they're spinning this doctrine according to the fashion of the world. Because the Bible warns of political correctness by a variety of different terms. The fear of man, cowardice, worldly wisdom, hypocrisy, false humility. Paul often uses that word. Flattery, carnal reasoning, and even the works of the devil and of Antichrist. Political correctness is a form of idolatry and a snare. It's a snare of the devil. Think of that. That many are led by. And it is a major obstacle to biblical reformation. When pastors are not able to faithfully rebuke and systematically denounce the sins and abominations of the pagan world, as Paul does in Romans 1, or as Jude does in warning against apostasy and the false gospel, they're not being faithful to the truth. They're not being faithful to Christ. They're accommodating the word of God to political correctness and false doctrine. Very simply, they're lying against the truth. Romans 1 should give us all a clear and discerning sense of the real and present danger in America. Right? Romans 1, Paul's condemnation of pagan society and pagan values. It is the widespread influence and institutionalization of paganism in the nation, in the government, in the fake news media that is not rebuked by pastors and Christian leaders that is leading this slide in the nation to apostasy. They're largely silent. And therefore, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Remember, Paul says in Romans 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And then he gives a list, a long list, of the marks and the characteristics of a pagan society, God's wrath and judgment, not just upon the sinfulness of all sin and all that are guilty before God. He's giving a description of pagan society. And it's important that ministers expose that. In Ephesians 5:11, Paul says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And one of the most destructive evils in the church today is the political correctness that causes so many evangelical and reformed pastors to be silent with regard to the sins and idolatries, the political ideologies and false religion of the day, and only preach and teach sermons on Christian nurture, sermons on Christian growth, how-to sermons. Of course, they have their place. But the preaching of the gospel, of course, includes preaching Christ's lordship. Warning of the danger of the abominations, the evils, the idolatries of culture, society. The culture of paganism is now dictating to the church often the contents of sermons, as well as the very nature of public worship. It's becoming light, irreverent, and man-centered. And so notice how godly and straightforward Jude is here in his rebuke and exhortation to the church. There's no political correctness in Jude's letter. None in all of the Word of God. But you can tell how sharp Jude is in his rebuke of political correctness, of the apostasy that leads so many to be silent. Listen how he speaks of sin and apostasy and the corrupting influence of false teachers, and how he warns the church of the evil. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, beloved, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. They're reserved for everlasting fire and hell, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual morality and gone after strange flesh. The homosexual community, they're all set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, what about those liberals in the media? These dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these, they speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They've run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. They've perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And you know Enoch, the seventh from Adam, he prophesied about God coming in wrath and judgment upon all their ungodliness. How often do you hear a minister speaking on CNN, MSNBC, or even on Fox News like this? Never. Never. Why? Political correctness. You rarely hear this in today's preaching. People are used to being entertained. They want smooth things. They want pastors to lighten up and dumb down their sermons. They are more likely to complain about faithful preaching than about the sins and the idolatries of the culture that leads their families astray. That's a real problem. Right? You rarely hear anyone in the church, rarely hear any Christians complaining about a three-hour movie, a three-hour football game, a soccer match that goes into overtime. They watch the playoffs, the Super Bowl, but there is always complaining from people about a sermon that goes over an hour. The political correctness and the religious hypocrisy of the modern church is frightening. And that type of thinking, that type of Renaissance pagan values, the love of entertainment, drama, theater, pagan music, the desire to get back to your life in the world, to disregard the Lord's Day, disregard the faithful preaching of the gospel, get back to the plays, the theater, and all the little popular things, that is driving the apostasy and the downgrade in the churches and in Christian families. Many will go to hell under the delusion of a false gospel because of political correctness. Right? We're repeatedly told throughout Scripture to separate ourselves from the world. Right? Jesus said in John 7, "The world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." James 4 reminds us, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The prophets of the Old Testament repeatedly warned the children of Israel of associating with the pagan world around them, adopting their idolatry, their evil practices, and the danger that that can lead if we're not careful. And that's the problem. It dulls our senses to the truth. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You don't know this. You are undiscerning. You don't understand that you are falling headlong into apostasy because of cowardice and political correctness. Paul is saying that it is shameful for Christians to be worldly, to be so involved with people who are unbelieving that it corrupts their lives and families. And this is sadly what happens to many today. Many Christian families, they're more interested in a ministry in a church that is politically correct, accommodating to the culture and the values of today that are apostate, instead of being faithful to preach the gospel, to warn against sin, idolatry, and false religion. Well, that's the problem with pastors and ministers. There are a whole lot of Christians who bring misery into their lives and their children by their worldliness and compromising with political correctness and secular values. And what does Jesus say? What is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The widespread influence of political correctness today is a mark of cowardice. It is a snare of the devil. It drives the church and the nation to apostasy, and it is a major obstacle to biblical reformation. And then the sixth point, feminist idolatry. Feminism, the feminization of the church. That's not difficult to see. One of the marks and evidences of cowardice in ministers that drives the apostasy of the church today and the nation, why pastors are silent about political moral issues, is because of the influence of feminism. Because women are now, they have a widespread influence in culture and society and politics. They're everywhere. The faithful preaching of Christ's sovereignty and God's hatred of modern liberal democracy is suppressed in the church today on account of feminism. Right? It's feminism. The more women are involved with politics, with modern culture, places of government, the less pastors preach on Christ's lordship over politics. Isn't that strange? The church is being feminized. Now, even when the leadership of the church is male, there's often feminist idolatry in the churches where women and children control the worship, the doctrine, the preaching. It's shameful. Absolutely shameful how effeminate and girlish ministers and Christian men have become today because of this. Sermons become very short, superficial, often directed to matters of Christian nurture for women and children. But most pastors direct their sermons to women, but not to instruct them as much to flatter them and to be careful not to offend them. Really. The church today is almost entirely corrupted by the same feminist ideology that is the root of modern liberalism, Marxist ideology, and the New Age movement, all of which seeks to destroy biblical morality, the Christian worldview, values in our society. And it is a snare. It is a snare of the devil, and it is an obstacle to biblical reformation. And ministers and Christian leaders are not to accommodate to a cowardly and effeminate view. Godly leadership is male, whether in the house, in the church, or in the state. Jesus did not ordain women as apostles, nor are they to be church officers. There's nowhere in Scripture that promotes feminism or women officers. In fact, they're to be silent in the church, as says the law. Female government in either the church or the state is, according to Scripture, a form of idolatry. Women are not ministers. They're not preachers, teachers of the Word of God. They do not have any form of office or leadership in the church and the state. And it is a sign of idolatry and blasphemy against God, as well as contrary to their calling. as women. And yet is becoming very widespread throughout the nation and churches today. There are thousands of so-called ordained ministers, teachers, psychologists, congresswomen, and such like feminists who even profess to be religious and know Christ. They are deceived by false doctrine, and they bring scandal upon the church. Now, it's important for Christians in the world to be respectful to those in authority if they're women, right? But it's the duty of ministers. It's the duty of Christian leaders to warn of the dangers and the evils of women ruling in government. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, the Lord rebukes his people saying, "As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. And those who lead you cause you to err, and they destroy the way of your paths." The way of the righteous are destroyed when women and children rule. In 1 Timothy 2:11, Paul says, "Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." God created men to rule. He appointed men to rule. God gave gifts of strength and wisdom and knowledge to men so that they might rule. And for men to squander, deny, neglect, or abuse God's command and ordinance to rule is evidence of an apostate and wicked generation. Whether it's the evil of feminism or the cruelty and abuse of chauvinism, it is the stripping of man's honor and dignity, as well as women. But this is what is happening throughout the churches, the nation. When pastors are silent with regard to matters of politics and government, when the preaching of Christ's sovereignty is neglected, it's because of what? Not only political correctness, it is because of the feminization of the church. You see, it's the right and calling of men to adjudicate matters of state, of government, of public policies, of upholding the law of God as a standard of civil justice to the nation. To take that away is destructive to the office of man and the nature of female piety. What are Christian men usually talking about after church but the state of the nation, the national apostasy, and yet they still go to these liberal and feminist churches that provide no godly instruction in matters of government and Christ's sovereign authority? How pathetic, how sad, how stupid, how liberal and ungodly. It is a man's office and duty to rule as Christ's representative over the home, the family, the church, and the state. And it is a sign of godliness in men to learn from the ministry of the word Christ's lordship in government, in politics, in business, in the church. And it is a sign of effeminacy when they're not able. When they're not able, it is a sign of unbelief, false religion, and apostasy when they're not willing to listen to the faithful preaching of the gospel and Christ's sovereignty. And what do? They want to listen to political pundits who are feminists themselves. Let me tell you, Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, Tucker, all of them on Fox News, for all the good that they do, they're all promoters of feminism. How stupid. How completely ungodly. Where are Christian men these days? In Genesis 3, God said to Eve, "In regard to Adam, he shall rule over you." That's not only the command of God in paradise, that's the judgment of God even after sin. In Esther 2, it is written by Xerxes the king, "All wives will honor their husbands, both great and small, and each man should be master in his own house." It's the dignity of man to bear rule, to rule in wisdom and love, certainly. And how? As Christ loved the church, though he is Lord, he humbled himself. Right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Godly lordship and rule does not mean abuse, tyranny. No. But Paul does say wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, because it's a man's office to rule and to have headship and authority over a woman. just as Christ is the head, the Lord, over the church. And to invert that is to dishonor Christ as well as man's headship. And so that when church and pastors are silent about matters of government, Christ's sovereignty over the state, when they're not willing to listen to ministers preach on the doctrine of government, that's feminism. That's the evidence of effeminacy and the slide toward apostasy. John Knox said to deny the right and authority of man to bear rule or in any wise to strip him of that honor of government in matters of the family, the church, or the state is contrary to Christ's own authority and is a work of evil. Female government is idolatry. It is a form of idolatry for men to allow or to promote women to government, as it is also a form of cowardice and idolatry to soften and strip the faithful preaching of the Word of God with regard to this issue. Right? So you can see, let me say, you can see this kind of effeminacy widespread in the church and pastors and Christian leaders in Reformed denominations even that only have men in office. Right? You can see this. It's not difficult. This is especially true when you listen to pastors in the UK. British pastors. Oh, boy. They don't see it, but they're incredibly effeminate. They're completely blind to their sins. Let me tell you, not to be too sharp, there is a vast difference between the preaching of, say, Paul Washer or myself in America or Derek Thomas and Sinclair Ferguson in England. There is a vast difference between the preaching, you say, even of a dispensationalist like John MacArthur or Martin Lloyd-Jones decades ago. The effeminacy that is widespread in England because of European socialism, because of political correctness, because of the downgrade of godly authority is shocking. But this is coming to America. This effeminacy, this soft peddling the Word of God in evangelical and Reformed churches is becoming widespread. Can you imagine? You listen to Luther sermons, Calvin sermons, Knox's sermons. They are a world of difference to the effeminate type of preaching that is widespread, even in the best of Reformed preaching today. It is tragic. And Reformed pastors and scholars, they don't see it. They have no clue. The political correctness and the effeminacy that has led them to such cowardice. Now, I could say a whole lot more about this, but it is a complete undermining of the lordship of Christ over politics. It is completely. Let me say just from a personal, you couldn't pay me £1 million a year to take a ministry position in any part of Europe. It is so effeminate. It is so contrary to Reformed doctrine. It is so contrary to Calvin and the Puritans. Reformed preaching in Europe, even in England, is so contrary to godly manhood because of the influence of feminism, effeminacy, European socialism. And often the laws that govern England and Europe, the so-called hate crimes bills, that has completely stripped the church of courage. The widespread influence of feminism and effeminacy today is a mark of cowardice in the ministry. It is a snare of the devil, as well as an obstacle to biblical reformation. You do not see any of that effeminacy in the Old Testament prophets, in the apostles, early church fathers, reformers, Puritans. You do not see any of that effeminacy in the Great Awakening and Jonathan Edwards' sermons and preaching. No. But it is completely corrupted the ministry today. Well, then seventhly, the widespread evil of materialism and the love of money. Now, this is probably the final mark. If pastors, Christian leaders are not corrupted by the previous six, well, then they're corrupted by this. Greed. Why pastors are largely silent about the preaching of Christ's lordship, political issues, warning the church of the danger of apostasy and political ideologies that are contrary to the gospel. It's because of the widespread culture of middle class materialism and greed that is widespread. And this is one of the most influential reasons that I think among Reformed pastors who actually believe in Christ's lordship. All the other 6 points are definitely true. They are true. But there are many. They simply don't want to lose people from their churches who support them financially. So they dumb down the Word of God. This is why many of the seemingly most doctrinally sound Reformed pastors in the nation are completely silent on politics today. Even though they may write about Christ's sovereignty, Christ's lordship, right? They may write things in commentaries, but they never preach on it. They never broach the subject in church. Arguably the greatest manifestations of evil and idolatry in the history of the modern world, and it never comes up on Sunday in their preaching. How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, just look at all of these points, and if they don't apply, you can be assured this does. Greed, covetousness, the snare of money, the forces of liberalism, the demonic agenda of the Democrat Party, the political establishment in Washington, they've all been growing widespread throughout the nation over the last 100 years. Let me tell you, it has become such an abomination that even the likes of Bernie Sanders, an atheist, a socialist, an abortionist, a pro-homosexual, anti-Christian, pagan, totalitarian statist, was just recently given a town hall on Fox News this past week. And you know what? Even President Trump was outraged over the wickedness of their complicity to promote such a diabolical evil. President Trump, outraged. And yet, evangelical Reformed pastors, I don't think, to have the same outrage or the historical discernment, even as President Trump, to see how shockingly perverse and wicked to give Bernie Sanders prime time on Fox News. Let me tell you, he would not have prime time on NBC 40 years ago. He would not have. How is that possible? The apostasy of the nation growing so bad that we even have. I hear people saying they might consider voting for Bernie Sanders. Professing Christians. They're demonic. They're of the devil. How is it possible that pastors and Christian leaders aren't speaking the truth? Bernie Sanders is a tool of the devil and of Antichrist. I wouldn't say in a sermon what I think needs to be done with him by the government, by a righteous government who loves God and hates evil. What pastors and Christian leaders are sunk in the mud because of greed? 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul says, "The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Greed, covetousness, is another reason why pastors and Christian leaders are silent. Most of the church today is looking to get wealthy, trying to get more money, a larger house, better cars, more vacations. Pastors and Christian leaders want more time off. There are Reformed pastors, they're taking boat trips, saying that this is a Reformation conference and we're going to go down the rivers and show all of the history of the British Reformation. Do you think the apostles would have anything to do with that garbage? Pay thousands of dollars and waste their money? That's just the evil of middle class idolatry and materialism. Church today is tragically selfish, greedy, materialistic, and that's what makes them ungodly, undiscerning. That's why pastors regularly dumb down their sermons and tell stupid jokes and flatter people, as Paul says, for the sake of filthy lucre. We flatter them. And sometimes they says, hey, you know what? We want to bring these conferences on the boats, on the trips, make money off of this, you know, travel here, travel there. Where is that in Scripture? The only time the Apostle Paul was on a boat is getting across the Aegean, the Mediterranean, to do evangelistic tours and sometimes risking his life. This is why Jesus, though, cleansed the temple and overturned the money changers, because of covetousness, which is idolatry. And you remember, he cleansed the temple. Why? Because they were buying and selling in the temple, the house of God. What were they buying and selling? Sacrifices. They were actually prescribed, ordained for the church. But it was a grievous sin. It was making merchandise of the temple to buy and sell. How many churches buy and sell on the Lord's Day at church? Bibles, books, coffee, donuts. That's a great evil. That's exactly why Jesus cleansed the temple. Reformed churches sell books. They think they're going to promote the Reformation by selling Calvin for an extra amount of money for what it costs them. It's shocking, really. In verse 11, Jude therefore warns the church of the danger of false teachers. He says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. In verse 16, Jude also speaks of false teachers as flattering people to gain advantage. Well, this is widespread in the church today, and this is what makes ministers suppress the truth and unrighteousness. This is why they won't preach against sin and idolatry. They won't preach Christ's sovereignty over civil government. Why they won't rebuke the idolatry of modern liberal democracy. Abortion activists, Planned Parenthood, homosexuals, the feminist agenda that destroys marriages and the family, the fake news media. It makes them silent. Now, I won't make any... sentence of judgment on many evangelical Reformed pastors today, whether they believe the gospel and are saved. But you have to see, it is a mark of unfaithfulness when greed and covetousness directs the ministry instead of the Word of God. The growing spiritual downgrade, the serious lack of courage and conviction in the church and the ministry today is in many ways a direct result of covetousness. People today don't want to lose influence. Ministers don't want to lose influence. They don't want to lose their standing, their status, their positions in the world. Right? Reformed scholars don't want to be persecuted and lose their status among the elite, and that's why they flatter the ungodly. They flatter liberal theologians, neo-Orthodox heretics, Roman Catholic writers. They flatter them instead of rebuke them. John Trapp said, because of the love of many, the love of Christ grows cold in many. And this is sadly true. Covetousness leads to cowardice and compromise in the church and the ministry. The unwillingness of many to be faithful to the truth of God. They don't even care how false, deceitful, and cowardly they become, because there's often such a greed, an insatiable desire for a wealthy and comfortable lifestyle. Many modern pastors grow comfortable with a lifestyle of luxury, even being millionaires. They compromise the truth for the sake of filthy lucre, personal vanity, the love of money, and is one of the main reasons why the church and the nation are on the slide to apostasy. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10, the prophet said, the days are so evil, even the greatest are given over to covetousness. Jeremiah said that in his day, even the godly, the greatest of men, were given over to covetousness. That is true today. That is true in the popular circles of evangelical reform preaching. You can sadly see that. Sproul before he died, MacArthur, A lot of these men, it's like they have a wedge of gold between their teeth. Solomon says the love of money is a snare. Jesus often warned the disciples of the danger of covetousness. In Luke 12:15, he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the things that he possesses. But you're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. It is better to be poor in wealth and rich in grace than to be poor in grace and rich in wealth." And that's a problem with the church today, because a lot of the church is poor in grace and rich in wealth. And that leads to apostasy in the church and the nation. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, Paul exhorts Timothy, saying, "Those who think that godliness is a means of gain and wealth, withdraw yourself from them. Don't have anything to do with them. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts that drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That is sadly true in the church today. Instead of seeking grace, truth, wisdom, righteousness, many people are seeking a comfortable lifestyle that compromises with the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with being industrious, working hard and enjoying the fruits of your labors. There's nothing. That's important to remember. There is a problem, though, when you compromise the Word of God. When pastors, churches, and ministries compromise, and the church becomes worldly and accommodating to a pattern of greed and covetousness, because it is a snare. And it's very sad how the preaching of the gospel has become so defiled today by ministers' greed. Ministers today often write and edit their sermons to fit their pocketbook so as not to offend people, especially the rich. And this is the road to apostasy. This is the road to ruin in the church and in the lives of Christians, marriages, and families. That is why there is such a solemn warning in Acts chapter 8 regarding Simon Magus, who made merchandise of the church and sought to sell the Holy Spirit for a profit. What does Peter say in Acts 8 to Simon Magus? He says, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this ministry, for your heart is not right with God. You're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." Notice Peter says that if a minister forms his preaching by the interest of his money, his heart's not right. He's in the gall of bitterness. He's in the bond of iniquity. And that is the slide today of many churches and denominations. Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. The church that is directed toward covetousness will be directed by cowardice. It is this widespread and evil disease that eats at the heart of the church's faith and courage. John Chrysostom said, "Men will neither suffer for Christ nor speak the truth for his sake if they are beholden to the idolatry of mammon, and they have an insatiable love for money." They will not suffer for Christ nor speak the truth. For the love of money, the truth of God, is therefore often suppressed in unrighteousness by ministers and Christian leaders. That's why they're silent with regard to Christ's sovereignty over civil government. Why won't they preach against the abominations and pagan practices of the nation? Greed, the snare of the devil. And that is a major obstacle to biblical reformation. Well, there are several other points to this sermon. I think seven are enough to get the point across. I would include also the Pentecostal movement, signs and wonders, the evils of dispensational theology, fake Calvinism that's widespread. But these are also a contributing factor to why we have such silence in the church by pastors and Christian leaders on arguably the greatest evil and manifestation of idolatry, false religion, and demonic influence in the entire history of the modern world. How is it possible? How? How is this demonic influence sweeping through the nation and pastors and Christian leaders are largely silent? the distortion of Christ's resurrection and lordship, a willful rejection of God's law and commandments, the influences of a corrupt theology of cheap grace, the downgrade of biblical preaching, an accommodation to political correctness and secularism, the feminization of the church and the ministry, and the evil influence of covetousness and materialism. I hope we can all see that. So Jude says, I exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith, once and for all, delivered to the saints. Why? For certain men have crept into the church who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, that's the problem. This is why there are so few who preach the lordship of Christ over civil government and politics, who even bring the subject up, who won't rebuke the idolatry of American liberal democracy, preach against the evils of fake news media and the demonic policies of the liberal democratic agenda. It's the cowardice of spiritual compromise that is widespread in pastors and Christian leaders today. And again, Calvin is right. There can be no courage in men unless God supports them by his word and spirit. And therefore, cowardice is certainly the fruit of false doctrine and disobedience to God. This cowardice in men, as well as in pastors and Christian leaders throughout the churches, is the ruin of the church and the road to apostasy in the nation. And God grant his church and people repentance, faith, grace, discernment, and courage to take up the cross and to be faithful to Christ, faithful to his lordship and sovereignty over all things, including politics and civil government. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for your word, which is a light to our feet and a lamp unto our path. Thank you for the book of Jude and the warning, the danger of apostasy in the church as well as in the nation, and that we are to contend earnestly for the faith against the idolatry, the false religion, the political ideologies, and the antinomianism that is widespread in the churches and the nation that brings ruin upon the lives of Christians. We pray that you'd give us courage and faithfulness. Give all of your people, your church, especially pastors and Christian leaders, conviction of the truth of your word. Break the power of cowardice that is so widespread in the churches, to bring them to repentance, faithfulness to Christ, to love the truth, and to stand for Christ with great courage in an evil world, proclaiming the glories of the gospel, his sovereign lordship over all things, and all to the glory and praise of your name. Amen.